Delict to Juve.
Dude, we're recording.
Oh, what? I'm sorry, dude. You just got me praying there.
It'll happen, dude. Relax.
Transfers Roundup Part 2 coming your guys' way, along with a quick roundup of the nuts and bolts of the footballing world. Welcome to Season 2 of The Football Corner, Munster's very own home for all things football. My name is Vikram.
And my name is Shreyas.
If you guys are new, you can check us out wherever you get your podcasts. Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, CastBox and more.
You can also find us on our website, munchermedia.com or at Munchers Sports on all social media.
Why don't we jump right into the transfer gauss, Shreyas?
Let's do this.
Well, so the first transfer that we can confirm, and this is going to make you very, very happy. It's not a player transfer. It's an ex-player transfer as the new manager of Chelsea, Mr. Frankie Frank.
Yeah, more on that later.
More on that later, but just real quick, how do you feel?
Excited.
I don't care, man. Let's move on. next, we'll just wrap up everything that's happened. Jose Perez, Newcastle to Leicester, 30 million.
Fantastic signing.
30 million, you think?
I mean, considering the prices that you have nowadays, I think it's really cool. He's been sort of gone under the radar at Newcastle, and he's always shown up. And with Newcastle going to shit and Benitez not there anymore, I think this is a really cool step up for him.
Interesting. Next, we have this happened a little while ago, maybe a few days ago. Rodri from Atletico Madrid to City.
Yeah, he's kind of scary.
63 million, which very surprisingly is a record signing for Manchester City.
Yeah.
So you just would think that they'd have much higher value there. But I feel like their game is like a lot of players in the 50-60 range.
Exactly.
Instead of like a couple in the 100 or the 80-90.
Yes.
So some transfer of financial prudence there. But I completely agree. He's a great player.
Yeah. Plus the whole FFP stuff. So they have to be careful.
They do, which we're still waiting on, I guess.
Yep. And we'll just continue to wait on the season we'll go through, and they might win or come second or whatever. So, yeah.
Yeah. Next up, we have Ander Herrera, United to PSG for free.
Very sad.
And also, he came out with a statement after the move where he said something along the lines of, I didn't fit into their plans too well.
Yeah.
Or...
that's a PR stunt.
That's a PR stunt. But then also, he said something along the lines of, you know, by the time they reached out, it was already too late. I had agreed. With PSG.
He just wanted money. He wanted like 300 plus or something.
Is he getting 300 plus now at PSG?
I am not sure, but I'm sure he's getting closer to what he wanted.
Okay. And PSG is not a bad team to play for. I feel like he'll get decent playing time there.
Plus, they've lost Rabiot and...
Well, Rabiot was never playing, so that doesn't technically count as a loss.
True, but yeah, imagine him and Verratti together. That'd be cool.
That would be interesting. More on that later. Next, we have Ndombele. Tanguy, is that how you say it?
It's Tongi.
Tongi, Ndombele, Lyon to Spurs for 63 million.
That's a lot of money for Daniel.
Spurs Levy wakes up after a year and a half and throws 63 million at a player who's actually pretty good. I like him.
He is really good. He reminds me a little bit of Michael Essien. And yeah, I think in the center, they don't have too much going on. And they had Sissoko, who didn't do too badly, I guess, except for the handball in the final.
Right. But Sissoko always felt like a stopgap player, never true quality
right.
Who could be depended on. But
yeah, and in fact, for Sissoko, like when he moved to Spurs, he thought he was going to Arsenal. And he was like, oh my God, I'm going to London. And he was like, oh, Spurs, it's still London. So like, chale jate.
I don't know. I think that's a good signing. Very, very
for sure.
Smart signing by Spurs.
Right.
Excited to see this guy in the league next season.
Yeah.
Next, we have Gabriel Martinelli to Arsenal.
Right.
For 6
for
million.
Staggering.
So they have 34 million left in their transfer kitty now. I don't know what they're planning there. I honestly don't know much about the player, so I can't really comment here. Any
likewise.
Thoughts? Same? Okay, let's move on then. We have a confirmed signing for your club, Chelsea, Mateo Kovacic. He did a pretty good job last season.
Of not scoring a single goal or an assist, yes.
Yeah, but then, you know, the way he was playing, remember we spoke about the Sarri style of play?
Yes.
He did a pretty good job because the bulk of the offense or the end part of that offensive move would always rely on Hazard.
Correct.
So linking up from midfield was Kovacic's responsibility.
Correct.
With Jorginho and Hazard. I think he did a decent job.
He did, but that's the thing. I mean, considering how much you can see from a fan's perspective in terms of watching an actual match and, you know, what who's doing what versus actual stats.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure, yeah, we're being a little hard on the guy. And, yeah, I'm hoping he has a lot more to offer. And now with Under Lampard, I'm sure this will come up good.
Look, also it's 40 million, which in today's day and age is not surprising for any player.
Yeah.
And secondly, it's not like Chelsea has a choice.
Right.
Whatever reinforcements they can make outside of their loan system, I guess they should just buy into that.
Totally.
Because they're not going to be spending a penny on players anymore. So right. I think it makes sense. Next we have Danny Ings from Liverpool to Southampton now.
Yeah.
Didn't get playing time, obviously.
At all, yeah.
And now combined with this new news about Origi signing a long-term contract in Liverpool. It's not like he'll get any more playing time there.
True.
Goes to Southampton. They make 18 million off him. Good both ways, I guess. Winners both sides.
Right.
I'm sure he'll get more playing time at Southampton.
Yep.
So, makes sense. Next, we have our first player to China transfer news, Marko Arnautovic.
Right.
Only, I feel like in Jan, signed a long-term contract with these guys.
Yeah, he's been a bit of a bad boy, unfortunately. And
I still like him as a player though.
He's amazing as a player. I mean, in that West Ham team was not doing too badly at all. And
actually gunning for a lot of like high profile players in this transfer window.
Yeah.
I don't know where this money is coming from all of a sudden. Like last year, I lost my mind when I saw Fulham and West Ham just go like crazy on the transfer market. And it's very conflicting. He's been wanting to leave for maybe around two seasons now. Every window we hear about Arnautovic requesting a trade or trying to force a trade. This time it worked out to China. They got 20 million for him.
That's really bad business.
Yeah, I feel like they could have at least gotten more, but I feel like then this has a lot to do with Arnautovic trying to force a move out and just being like, yeah, I'm not going to play if you don't sell me.
Yeah.
I feel like he's going to earn a shit ton in China, obviously. No other reason to go there.
He is, but I can't imagine how much of a bad boy he can be to the point that the staff and there were multiple players were like, get this guy out of here. We do not want anything to do with him.
Well, then that's reason enough, man. A toxic dressing room always translates to bad football on the pitch.
Yeah.
Another West Ham transfer.
Bad boy.
We have Samir Nasri, who
joining company.
I keep forgetting that he's back in the EPL. That's how much of an effect he has in my life. But he's gone to Anderlecht for free.
That's what former Arsenal players would do to you, right?
Let's not get into that, dude. He again, like you said, he joins company in Anderlecht. Company's trying to build some sort of system where he's just getting experience, I guess. That's correct. What he gains with Samir Nasri here.
Yep.
So again, for free, West Ham doesn't earn anything from this.
Yeah.
So not much to comment there. I'm curious to see how this Anderlecht team shapes up next season.
Because
they've made a few moves and company being there as player manager.
Right.
I want to see how that translates to on the pitch. Next transfer to China.
Yeah.
Stefan El Shaarawy.
Yeah, what's the deal there, man? I'm hoping you can fill me in because this guy was really cool. Like, I remember him destroying Chelsea a couple of seasons ago. In the Champions League, yeah.
I feel like he peaked and his peak was so short-lived, but it was all in AC Milan.
Yeah.
And after that, it was just a struggle of figuring out this player and team fit.
Right.
And I mean, he was in Roma. He did okay for the amount of time, the amount of minutes he got.
Yeah.
But I feel like this China is just overtaking. Just greed shows through in terms of what players want.
Yeah.
Because Shaarawy could technically go to a lower tier team than a Roma or a Milan or something like that and actually do very decent there.
Right.
But the fact that he's gone to China and the fact that Roma agreed a 12 million fee on him goes to show that there's something else that in the works.
I miss his hairstyles.
Okay, I mean, no comment there, I guess. So yeah, he's off to China again.
Yeah.
Notice how we're saying China and not the specific club because I don't give two. I really don't. Benitez has also gone to China. I want to say
which
Shang? I don't know, man. I have no idea.
Couldn't you say Shanghai? Shang.
I have no idea. So yeah. I feel like China is just doing a tremendous job in attracting star power there. And
quick rumor. Apparently, Mourinho was photographed with one of the guys who's running the Chinese league. And he's like this crazy ass, super powerful, super rich dude. And now there are rumors that Mourinho will manage one of the Chinese league.
No, but then he came out with a statement after that saying that I will only manage a club which is competitive.
Ouch.
Remember? Oh, no, he said that about Newcastle. I'm sorry. I take that back.
Right.
Oh, dude, if Mourinho goes to China, my faith in football will be like broken. My favorite program. I'll start watching the Chinese League over the EPL. No worries about that. All right, moving on. We have Theo Hernandez, Madrid to AC Milan for right. 16 million.
He's the unknown Hernandez.
He's still good. I feel like he's kind of young. Right. So yet to be seen what the true potential there is.
But do you think AC Milan with Giampaolo at the stake, who we have no idea? He's a Sassuolo former manager, right?
He's good, dude. He's pretty good. But he's okay. One of those, you know, like I feel like this approach that they're taking is good. Now, earlier they tried a couple of those, let's get the legends in and see how that works out. They did the seed off.
Right.
Gattuso did okay.
Yeah.
Actually thought he'd do way worse than he did.
Yeah.
But now they're actually going for a relatively fresh, unknown manager, but who has good footballing roots and good footballing philosophies and principles in place, right? So they're taking that approach. I'm just happy they're trying it out, right? And just not taking the same staggered approach one after the other. They know where they stand in terms of positioning within the Serie A. And I feel like they'll have clear-cut goals and not super lofty in terms of what to achieve.
Okay.
Because the top three, as from what it looks like right now, should be Juve, Napoli, and Inter. So to compete there, plus the odd... it's always the thing with Serie A where this odd one team just fights for the top four.
Right.
And it mostly changes season within season. So there'll be one X factor team there next season as well.
So between Roma and Milan.
Roma's there. Milan's there. You know, like a Sampdoria comes up one season. Like an Atlanta comes up one season. So let's see what they're shooting for. They're doing these not super controversial transfers where there's like bloated transfer value and stuff like that. So Theo Hernandez makes sense for 16 million. Let's see how that works out.
Chelsea was offering Bakayoko. They said no.
Chelsea was offering Bakayoko to them?
Yeah. So he had spent...
he spent the loan season there.
Yeah. And he actually did well.
Okay.
And then there was this weird part where Gattuso called him to warm up, but the match was almost over. So he apparently refused.
Mm.
And then he denied it and he said, oh no, there was this misunderstanding. I didn't know I was called up or whatever.
Okay. So as long as he didn't say that, he didn't acknowledge that. Because a lot of players would just acknowledge that they're all manager. Carlos Tevez, remember, like sitting at the stands, like, not coming. No.
Oh, Tevez is he's an arrogant mofo, but he's earned it, man. You've seen the shit he's done. So,
yeah,
for Juve,
I guess for any player to be disrespectful for your manager, regardless of how big your stature is not called for. Because then you are not staying true to what you're doing as a professional.
Yeah.
You're bigger than the team, essentially, then.
Yeah.
And as soon as a footballer becomes bigger than the team, it's never a long-term good fit.
Right.
Moving on to some other news. I want to talk about this first.
Yeah.
Alvaro Morata.
Oh, yeah.
Finalized.
Oh, my God.
You were never going to recoup all of that money, but 58 million is pretty decent.
Yeah, no. In fact, we did spend 58 million and there were bonuses and stuff, but we won nothing and we didn't do anything. So I'm assuming we paid 58 million and we got back 58 million.
Net, no loss.
Yeah.
That's a great deal, man.
Oh, Chelsea killing it.
Killing it, man. Killing it. Just increasing their never-ending kitty, which makes no sense.
Right.
Do you think it made sense to keep him given the restrictions for next season?
I don't know. I think coming from the player himself, what he has to say is that he never felt liked or belonged. He never felt like he belonged in Chelsea, both from the fans and like from the staff and stuff. And it almost tracks back to the first match he played, which was the Community Shield. It went to penalties. And he missed his penalty.
Hmm.
And there was this huge article about how his wife gave him such a hard time. Like, oh my God, how could you miss? Like, that was your moment. And then
his wife?
Yeah.
Like, he needs more pressure.
So, yeah, and then... Yeah, and then, like, the whole season, you know, he just had us be putting in those balls and he would just head them like there was no tomorrow. Like a FIFA cheat code. But, yeah, beyond that, then he had his twins. He changed his number to the date that his twins were born on and whatnot. And it just did not work. And then Olivier Giroud... And then Higuain coming in, he's like, yeah, main se compete nahi kar sakta. So I think I'm going to go back. But for him to go back to Atletico Madrid after like coming up in the Real Madrid Academy, that's kind of surprising. But no, I wish him the best, man. I think it's a good place. Atletico Madrid just churns out these super center forwards that we've seen. And
they usually, capture them at a stage where they're not at their
unknown,
peak and build them. So Morata there, going there, I don't know if that'll apply. Just talking real quick about Giroud.
Yeah.
What's his situation with Chelsea now? He's staying? He's happy to stay?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Did you not see how he celebrated defeating Arsenal in the Europa League final? Like, he was lapping it up.
Yeah.
So he's very much staying. And considering, like, we don't really have a forward and he's our main forward right now.
Yeah, because Higuain's gone too.
Higuain's gone too. And apparently he doesn't want to leave Juventus. Like, Juventus wants to let go of him.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was such a shit show.
I would be very happy if he leaves.
I'm sure.
But having backups is... As long as he's happy being a backup, man.
Right.
Because if he's like, oh, I want first team minutes, F off, dude. Right? Yeah. You don't need first team minutes.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. Do we have anything big ticket left? Yeah, we do. A few things. So, Tyrone Mings.
That's not big ticket, bro.
25 million, man, for Aston Villa. That's big ticket in the scheme of things. Yeah. Bournemouth to Villa, 25 million.
Right. Good squad player.
You like this guy.
Yeah, good squad player. Featured relatively, quite a bit in my fantasy. So, yeah, Bournemouth, I really like what Eddie Howe's done with his setup. And, this guy should be a good stuff for Villa.
Interesting. Let's see how he helps Villa out. Next, I really like this player, man. Yuri Tielemans.
Yeah.
I'm so bad at this. Yuri Tielemans. Monaco to Leicester. 40 million.
Yeah.
Club record signing for Leicester.
Yes.
If Brendan Rodgers doesn't do much with this guy.
He'll be fired, bro.
I like this guy, dude. I like this guy. I like how he plays.
22 years old. Played. Has a little bit of experience in the Belgian national team. Mm-hmm. And yeah, United and Arsenal were after this guy. I don't know what Arsenal was thinking.
Yeah.
But yeah, because they can't compete with United.
Also,
clearly.
That would have been their entire transfer budget. I know in theory that doesn't hold true, but just the fact they came out with that statement that our transfer budget is 40 million at the beginning of the window, I'm not letting go of that, dude. I'm not letting go of that. And then they try to go for Zaha, who's like
80
double
million.
That. Yeah. Hilarious stuff. As always, love Arsenal. Next we have Phil Jagielka, Everton legend.
Yes.
Legend.
Yeah.
Moves to Sheffield for free.
Yeah.
I'm just happy the guy can play football still.
Totally.
And not being ignored by teams. So that's good.
Right.
He's super old, man. So, I guess the experience side, like experience part of his value to Sheffield will be pretty high.
For sure. He actually transferred to Everton from Sheffield. And he's gone back home. One, two, he used to actually play center defensive midfield for Sheffield.
Hmm.
And then because I think he just couldn't keep up with the pace, because I think in today's modern sort of game, I think the most that people run or in that position are actually central or defensive midfielders, because they're going up and down.
Right.
So he actually moved to center back at Everton, and that seems like a nice position for him to play at Sheffield, and like he's old and he's got the experience and stuff, so I'm sure he'll help out quite a bit there.
Interesting. Next we have Eric Peters, Stoke to Burnley, 1 million.
Yeah.
Any thoughts?
Not really. I think he was hated at Stoke, so that's why it's gone for such a cheap amount.
I guess. Also, I feel like clubs don't usually take non-footballing stuff into account unless it's very stark or in your face.
Right.
So the hate at Stoke, just removing that from the picture, 1 million just goes to represent what some sort of true value, market value for this guy could be.
Yeah.
So if he does well,
that's gonna
props
be a
to Burnley.
Slap in the face.
And then Burnley just like astute transfer policy. If he doesn't, Burnley's like, okay, 1 million.
Right.
Maybe try to move him on.
Correct. Yeah.
David Ospina.
Breaking news.
Arsenal legend David Ospina moves to Napoli for 5 million.
Yeah.
What is he going to be, third choice there? Second choice? I don't know.
Yeah, no, he spent the last half of the season, or maybe the whole season, on loan.
Mm.
And then he's like, there's no way I'm going back to Arsenal. So Arsenal had to sell him.
How dare he?
Yeah, because, Cech's left, and now they've just got Bernd Leno. I don't know who the Arsenal second choice keeper is.
I'm sure they're working something out. Maybe getting a younger guy in there.
Yeah.
Italian league short-stopping is a completely different ball game than EPL.
Right.
Because the game's slower, the build-up is slower.
Yeah.
People are more defensive, so traditionally the shots on target might be a little lower, unless you play like a very fresh Napoli style of football.
Yeah.
So maybe he might do well. Let's see. 5 million, I feel like it's a good price for someone like him, because he's experienced, he's a good fallback if you need him.
Correct.
And you can throw him into cup games or something like that as well.
So Arsenal's kitty's gone to like 45 million now.
Oh, I forgot about that. Game changer. just like clawing their way towards the Wilfred transfer market price. Next we have Jay Rodriguez. Dude, I love this guy 3 years ago.
I think I still like him.
You still like him?
Yeah.
So West Brom to Burnley, 10 million.
I just forgot that he was in West Brom, but I still like him.
Well, I liked him when he was in Southampton.
Exactly.
Yeah, because that's I feel like that there's this one season where he actually did pretty well fantasy and on pitch as
well.
So West Brom to Burnley, 10 million, because they apparently triggered his release clause.
That's right. Burnley's lapping it up, man.
Burnley's doing some additions there. Let's see. Anything from enhancing their play in the attacking third,
right,
most welcome. Please do more there. So
why are you hating on Sean Dyche, bro?
I actually really like him, very good. Again, a very defensive solidity.
That's
sort of an
typical
approach.
English, right? Like rough them out and like get under their skin.
But then if you don't have like those, any sort of threatening element
from a footballing perspective,
then that sort of backfires, because how long can you keep absorbing the pressure?
Correct.
And not only from a minutes in match point of view, but from a season long point of view, right? I feel like that's been Burnley's Achilles heel.
Right.
They always sort of are on the lower end of the spectrum when it comes to goals conceded.
Yeah, yeah.
But if goal score doesn't factor in there, then it really doesn't matter.
Right.
The last piece of confirmed news we have is Zidane Jr., Luka Zidane.
Yeah.
Has gone on loan from Madrid to Racing Santander.
So who's going
to
be Madrid's second keeper?
Dude, I think they're going to do a very clear-cut Europe plus league sort of situation there.
Okay.
Because they're both pretty good, man.
They are good, but I mean, obviously Courtois.
And by both, we mean Courtois
and Navas.
And Navas.
Yeah, but Navas obviously like super old, but obviously.
I feel like those three trots, Champions League.
Yeah.
Nas killed it.
Yeah.
He did really good, man. Mm-hmm. And some very key saves and very crucial sort of saves in terms of where the match was headed and stuff like that. So I still like him. Obviously, Courtois is billed to be the future of goalkeeping. He's one of those top young keepers.
Right.
Didn't really show it as much in the first season, last season. So let's see. I know a big part of Zinedine Zidane's sort of mandate was that my son becomes either
reserve or second
at most, right? This might be just a move for him to get playing experience under him,
right,
so that in future he comes and becomes either one or two at Real Madrid. So,
right, but I wonder what Luka or Zinedine were thinking. Like, his dad's like one of the most successful player managers, classy, redefined what an attacking midfielder is supposed to be. The guy's a keeper. What happened there?
Yeah, I thought about that too. And I mean, it's whatever you like, man. Whatever you like doing, as long as you like that position, it's fine. Because I feel like he has more children who are part of the Real Academy.
Okay.
I know Beckham's sons are also like very varied in terms of the positions they play. So it's
they've given up. Yeah. So his oldest kid, Brooklyn, he's doing modeling full time.
Nice.
And his
father's second job, basically.
Yeah. I mean, the poor guy on some talk show was like, oh, you know, I have like X million number of followers. And there was this one particular post and he's wearing some old school like cardigan or something. And David, his own father, replied as on a comment that, bro, that's mine. That's my freaking jumper. So he's got that nailed down. But I don't really know what the other kids are up to. And then all we see is just him fawning over his daughter, Harper. So,
okay. I mean, I just come back to the point about Luka doing goalkeeping.
Yeah.
To each his own. If he likes it, he likes it. Fair. He seems to be decent enough to graduate through the academy.
Yeah.
Come to a position where he might not get called up to the senior team, which is huge, right?
Nepotism?
Does it play too much? Let's see. We'll find out with this next season when he goes on loan as Racing. Because if he does get minutes, then we'll actually really find out how he is in game. And if he's actually good, then
so
great choice, right? Yeah. Becoming a keeper.
Right.
Okay, so that sort of wraps up the confirmed stuff. Just talking about a little bit about the rumors that are out there.
Oh, you forgot Dilip, bro?
It's not confirmed yet.
Come on.
Added there. It's still so conflicting because just today we came out, I read a news piece that UAE's finally matched Ajax's ask
valuation
for 75.
Okay.
So they seemingly agreed there.
Okay.
And then I read another news piece about him getting presented on Saturday.
Oh, not bad.
But then I saw another news piece about him training with Ajax. So I don't want to jinx it.
Right.
It's clear from our intro that I really want this guy to come in. So he's one of the stronger rumors out there.
Yeah.
Just everything aside, it seems like it's going to happen.
It will happen, bro.
Like, I'm touching wood as seriously as I can.
That just sounds wrong and I don't want to tell you what I'm looking at right now.
So Delict is one.
Yeah.
Second, we've already spoken about this. Wilfried Zaha, Palace to Arsenal, 80 million.
Right.
Remains to be seen whether that's going to happen or not.
Yeah.
But just very briefly, do you think that's a good acquisition for Arsenal?
Considering that I think they want to sort of free up their wage bill and get rid of Ozil. They might get rid of Mkhitaryan as well.
Ozil, by the way, they're almost ready to just pay most of his salary so that he goes out on loan. Just to have him gone, literally.
Ooh,
and then Fenerbahce came out with a statement. He's like, yeah, we don't want him.
Ooh. So considering, I mean, they've got some good names up front, and it was so weird. Like, there were some rumors that, oh, to make money for the Zaha transfer to bid for him, they might have to get rid of Aubameyang or Lacazette. Like, are you kidding me? Aubameyang was like one of your top scorers, Lacazette, and both of them are doing really, really well. And for like people to actually say that, oh, Arsenal might have to sell one of these guys. Like, does Arsenal not have, like, are they not policing these websites? Like, oh, 40 million transfer kitty. Oh, we'll get rid of Aubameyang. So,
I don't know. And the thing about Zaha is that he can play, he can play as a forward. So he can,
yeah, like a support striker.
Support striker, maybe a wing as well, right?
Right. So right.
I only see him as a wing fitting in.
Yeah.
And a wing fitting in with two strikers up front is always dodgy.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure whether their pursuit here makes sense or not. Maybe they're just trying to add depth, but like 80 million for a player just to add depth doesn't make sense, especially if you're on a shoestring budget right now. So that might be one thing. Let's see how that pans out. The other sort of rumor out there, Malcolm from Barcelona to Everton.
Yeah, poor guy, man. I mean, he was supposed to go to Roma last minute from Bordeaux in the French League. And apparently Roma supporters were there ready to like receive him at the airport.
Right.
And the Barcelona like, no, wait a sec. Here's your new flight ticket. Why don't you come straight to Barcelona instead? And yeah, he's a young guy. You didn't get to play. So 30 million to Everton, I think seems really, really good. Everton have actually signed a lot of Barca flops, so to say. Andre Gomez.
De Lo Feo,
Yerry Mina, etc., etc. So this actually seemed like a really good piece of business because he's Brazilian, he's young, and he didn't get a chance to show his stuff at Barca. But in a team like Everton, I'm sure he's going to be very close to first team. So this looks really cool.
Right. I agree with you. And I think Everton's doing this pretty well in terms of picking up players who missed out,
right,
and players who are keen on first team opportunities.
Yeah.
So them coming to like these clubs, Andre Gomez, they made permanent very recently as well.
Yeah.
So the next few items that we need to move on to are basically items that have been there since day one,
right,
or the or actually like a month before the season ended as well.
Pretty much.
Paulo Dybala, he could go to Man U or Real or be
PSG,
cash swap, everything's up in the air. So
right,
let's see what happens there.
I'd hate for Dybala to leave. I mean, yes, I know you have more say in this because you and all, but I know somehow I still like the guy.
He's good, yeah. He's a great player, but I mean,
consistency
and inability to find what his actual true fit is. It's just he's always moving around in terms of where he's playing with Juve.
Right.
And from what I can gather, my personal opinion is that his actual best game comes out when he's playing right behind the striker.
Okay.
And that might not fit with Juve's system. Let's see what Sarri has in place.
Yeah.
But just the fact that his name is thrown into all of these transfer rumors means that he might not be part of their plans.
Yeah.
The second one is Lukaku to Inter has been going on for donkey's years now. Just get it over with. Ole, in fact, just came out with a statement saying, yeah, we kind of want him, so I don't want him to leave.
Oh, damn.
He said that about Pogba as well, but that could, again, just be a PR move.
Yeah, just to spike his value up or something.
Spike his value up, get it going or something like that.
Yeah.
And then just come into Pogba again. Yeah. It's literally every day is either Real or Juve. Just get it over with, man. I'm bored already.
Like the figures we're seeing is like Real apparently are trying for 150 million and Juve is ready to bid like 120 million. So
Juve is also throwing in Dybala in a cash swap to Man U so that they could get Pogba. I don't know what's happening. These guys are already in Australia for preseason.
Yeah.
So just get it over with. The other one I really want to get done with is Neymar. It was like Barca-Real. But Real just came out with a statement today that we're not interested because they want to target Mbappe for next year.
Yeah.
So then Barcelona is there, but Barcelona says that they're in no rush,
right,
presumably because they feel like PSG will lower the value as time goes on.
Plus they're spending a shitload on Griezmann. If he's not
speaking of
pocketing it himself.
Speaking of Griezmann to Barca, seemed like a done deal. And then, so that was a 120 million offer. And then Atleti came out with a statement about disrespect and bad behavior from both Griezmann and Barca. Because apparently they've been talking since Jan or something.
Yeah, this is that pre-contract, right? And where like he was apparently signed probably a couple of Januaries ago. And he was supposed to move last year. And then there was this whole like he went on Gerard Piqué's like interview. And Piqué's like, yeah, we'd love to have you here. And we can't wait for you to join. And voila, he stayed. And there was this whole thing, well, I'm never going to leave and blah, blah, blah and whatnot. And then apparently
half of the next season goes over and he's decided.
Yeah, apparently the whole thing was that Barca weren't ready to pay the 120 million and now apparently, oh no, apparently the value was way more than 120 million and now they're like, oh, 120 value come ho gaya. Okay, now is a good time to come. So yeah, it would suck if I was a president of Atletico paying Simeone all that money and this star player just slips under the radar, has this under the table dealing. So yeah, that's not cool at all. I mean, I don't even know what happens with La Liga transfers, man.
Yeah, it's kind of up in the air. That's why we keep seeing these tax evasions and image rights and all that stuff. The last I heard was that Barcelona wanted to pay in installments.
Yeah.
And Atleti's like, no way, you have to pay it all upfront or make us a better offer, which means wink, wink, send me a player.
Right.
So I feel like it's stalled as of now.
Yeah.
Don't know what's happening there. If Griezmann stays in Atletico.
Oh my God.
It's going to be such a shit show, dude. I mean, especially with Morata there as well.
Yeah. Yeah, João Felix, man, he's like a mini Griezmann. He's like both are left-footed, both sort of like a sprinky
character. Just the bad feeling, the bad taste, man, that remains, especially for two seasons in a row that you do this, really won't he?
Yeah.
Especially with this one, like it literally seemed like it was over the finish line. It doesn't happen.
Right.
So yeah, let's see what happens there.
Yeah.
Again, like there's still a bunch of these rumors out there, which might warrant a part three of the transfer roundup. But let's see if it's not that substantial, we just keep throwing it in subsequent episodes.
Yeah.
The last one to round the segment off is I just read somewhere that Barca is looking at Lindelof.
What? I mean, he was the best of the worst when you have like Phil Jones, your favorite, and Smalling.
Yeah.
So, but I honestly didn't even think he was good enough to be like United sort of standards, but he did well enough second half of the season. So I think this is just more a rumor than anything else. I don't think so. It's actually going to happen.
Yeah, let's see where this one goes. Anyway, so this wraps up this segment for transfers, news confirmed, saucy rumors, whatever there may be. Next, let's just jump to a quick segment. It's a new one. We're calling it the nuts and bolts of the football world, where we talk about, news and updates.
Yep.
And we'll take it from there. So the first thing that I want to talk about is very India-specific, man.
Yay.
Kind of bummed. Actually, I don't know how I truly feel about this, but the AIFF just came out with a ruling where they've, well, more or less given ISL priority over the I-League.
So, and why does that bum you out?
Well, because I-League is the league, right? It's not like it's donkey's years old. It's only started like 95 or 96 or something. But that's the true league that we've had. And this IPL version of football, which is more commercial, eye-grabbing, and less about true football and stuff. So what they were doing up until now was that the winner of I-League was their de facto entry to the Asian Championship, which is like the Champions League of Asia.
Right.
And then the winner of ISL would be their entrant to the Asia AFC Cup, which is the Europa League.
Okay.
And they just switched that around now. So very clearly giving priority or preference to ISL over I-League.
Right.
A lot of these I-League clubs are bummed out. They've moved to court because they're like, you can't just keep doing that, right? And over the past few years, we've seen this substantial deprioritization of I-League in terms of when the matches need to be held.
Correct.
So that a star sports or something, like there'll be matches at like 11 a.m. on a hot day, just so that the evening can be reserved for ISL matches and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So it's been in the works the past 2-3 seasons, but I guess this is the biggest shot they've taken at very clearly stating that, listen, ISL over I-League.
Right.
And in future, I guess we've seen clubs jumping from I-League to ISL as well. That's what Sunil Chhetri's club did too.
Yeah.
So the clubs like the Mohun Bagans and the East Bengals, the Aswals and the Minerva FC, they're obviously going to see a big hit from this. So let's see what happens with the court thing. They also wrote to the Prime Minister to intervene.
Oh, damn.
See, Modi sir, please dekh lo kuch kar lo type. So let's see what comes out of this. But very clearly, they're giving preference over the ISL. I just want a league as opposed to an IPL. I know it's not the most commercially friendly thing to do.
Yeah.
But it is the most sport-friendly thing to do. Like, these players need to pay for months on end as opposed to, like, a 1-3-month ISL that's done and dusted with, right? Because otherwise, like, how do they get better? How do we make viewership grow from the grassroots in terms of attracting people to watch good football?
Right.
I feel like some combo of I-League and ISL is the way forward. You can't have two leagues in a country, two primary leagues in a country. That never works out. That's why there are always one league.
Right.
But I feel like the part about the ISL that's dominating the narrative here is that it's more eyeballs. It's a quick shot that happens, done and dusted, and we move on.
Right.
So I'm just waiting to see how this pans out. And hopefully in the near future, there's some concerted effort of AIFF working on football, football being one league, one league being you have one end goal by getting maximum views, maximum stadium fills, good football, homegrown players, et cetera, et cetera. So even with the ISL, like the Indian team only has one player from the I-League.
Okay.
So that just goes to show the quality of football, the difference in quality of football maybe. And that should just be a concerted effort here. Moving on, USA wins the World Cup.
Woohoo!
Pretty interesting, I guess. Not really. They always win the World Cup. I'm bumped for Finn Level. His ladies couldn't make it beyond the semi-final, but I feel like this was the most interesting Women's World Cup I've seen till date.
Right.
Just because of all of these narratives around it in terms of the US world. Megan Rapinoe, I guess that's her name, told Trump to literally F off in terms of, I'm not coming to the White House.
Nice.
Phil Neville and his brand of football, and then just his involvement, I guess, just raised the profile a little bit because... old school Man United Everton fans would also be interested. And also the whole debate about wage parity.
Yeah.
I think it's come to the forefront. It's the first time at such a large scale.
Yeah.
And I hope that gets addressed in some way or the other, right?
Right, but not just that. I mean, despite this being a sort of a step up, and it was a pretty exciting tournament, actually, sadly, still didn't get enough traction. On the day of the Women's World Cup final, we had the Gold Cup final, which is North America's version of their intercontinental championship, where US actually lost to Mexico.
Right.
And then we also had the Brazil versus Peru final in CONMEBOL. So to have three finals on the same day, a women's World Cup final with a North America, South America final, that kind of sucks.
Yeah.
And that just shows that you're giving them a platform, and like, you want this to be like the cancel every day, everything else day, and just have this one final for everyone to watch. And clearly that wasn't the case. So,
well, I guess the approach, I mean, it's obviously a conscious decision, right? Like, it's not like these leagues or systems are working in silo and they don't even know that a Women's World Cup final is happening there.
Yeah.
I feel like it's from their end right now, it was just a way to enhance viewership.
Yeah.
One thing that I was just talking to a friend about a few days ago was that he floated the idea of having the Women's World Cup and the Men's World Cup happen at the same time.
Nice.
Just like a Wimbledon, any tennis tournament, for example.
Sounds cool.
That's because that automatically raises the profile of the women's game as well, right?
Because you're attaching it to the...
Exactly.
Property.
So that was an interesting idea. Let's see what they do. I feel like the response they got from this World Cup has to be overwhelming, because this is the first time the World Cup, Women's World Cup, has made such news. So I hope that factors into how they tackle women's football in general overall. Right. And let's see if they come up with something there.
Yeah, actually, even before we move on, in the UK, actually, I was surprised to learn that a lot of the women's teams of the clubs, the Arsenal ladies, Chelsea ladies, et cetera, they don't play their league matches in the stadiums. And that's horrible.
Interesting. So they play it on different pitches?
They play on practice pitches and training pitches and stuff like that, which is really, really sad. So,
well, what's the club's justification? We can't fill the stadium seats, so it's no point.
Or... That, and if you want to have the Women's League on a weekend and a Premier League match on the weekend, then...
Well, the pitch can't be used twice.
Exactly. And... Yeah, like the commentators were talking about this, and they said that in today's day and age, the kind of groundsmen we have and the kind of standards we have, it's okay for a match to happen on a Saturday and then you can have a Premier League match on Sunday. But then that's just not happening. So, but on the flip side, I believe Stamford Bridge is willing to sort of give their stadium for free for a lot of league matches that don't involve Chelsea at all. So,
interesting.
So, yeah, they're trying to do that more and more. But, yeah, man, these women deserve an audience and they deserve that support. And at the end of the day, they're still representing the same clubs, the same countries, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, looking forward to see what happens post this World Cup.
For sure, man. One more quick Indian football news. Our man Sunil Chhetri, legend, #legend, becomes the second highest international goal scorer of all time.
Damn.
Overtaking Lionel Messi.
Whoa.
That's saying something, dude. This guy's a beast, man.
He is. I mean, we all sort of like considered or assumed that, you know, there's no big name in Indian football post Baichung Bhutia. And to see Chhetri sort of step up, he's been the captain for the longest time. And he's a smart dude. It's fun to see him in Indian broadcasted versions of these international tournaments. Mm-hmm. And he's like a pundit and doing his thing. So, good to see him sort of walk the talk and sort of do everything else as well.
I agree, dude. And just to round this up, this might take up a little more time than expected because we touched on Messi.
Yeah.
Crashed out of the Copa. And didn't take it nicely. Didn't take it well at all.
I mean, as much as it was not cool for him to say what he said, which was like, you know, national level corruption and it's hosted by Brazil, so everything is in Brazil's favor, etc., etc. Those two sort of penalty calls that weren't even referred to VAR, which is really surprising, those were clear penalties. I mean, those were so bad. Like, one, I think Otamendi got punched in the face or something at a corner from someone's elbow. And the other one was one of the Argentine players was trying to play a through ball to Aguero, and it got intercepted really early on. So it was, and from that counterattack, Jesus ended up scoring the second goal. But Dani Alves just sort of rammed into Aguero. Aguero went flying off. It's very easy to not miss him in the corner of your picture. But, and that was a clear penalty that was very well inside, and not even a VAR, like, referral. That's such a surprising. So I feel bad for the guy, but maybe not.
So wait, just clear this up for me, because I know VAR is not set in stone in terms of how it works.
Yeah.
But in that particular situation, if the referee hypothetically has missed something, the VAR team will ping him literally
And say, like, you need to check this out. Exactly.
So it's literally, if they did that, then the referee ignores them or be like, yeah, no, it's no call.
Exactly.
Interesting. Yeah, and also I felt like the red cards weren't red cards.
Oh yeah, that was another one. Like, Gary Medel, captain of Chile,
he himself said that there were no red cards.
Exactly.
And Messi did as well.
And Messi wasn't even the aggressor. So yeah, for him to like...
I mean, it was just a slight shove.
Yeah, it was a push and a shove, and there was no dangerous stuff. There was no headbutting. There was no arms on heads and stuff. So yeah, but Messi was like, he didn't even come to like collect his third place medal. So that... Oh my God, like, poor guy, man. So,
dude, I feel so bad, especially because, like, one of our previous episodes, we were speaking about his international legacy and stuff.
Right.
To crash out is okay, but in this fashion, and then, see, obviously he's frustrated, but for such a high profile player to say that there's corruption in football is not a good look at all.
Right.
So, kafi rona dhona ho gaya uska yaar. I don't know if it's justified or not. I just feel bad for him. There's another Copa coming up next year. Let's see.
Be back for sure.
He better be back, and he better kill, dude. Like,
I don't know about the killing, but he'll be back.
He needs a better squad, honestly, around
he
him.
Does, but what's going to happen? Maybe what? I mean, we don't see any young Argentine players coming up or in transfers or anything. So I don't think so much is going to change there.
Yeah, hopefully it does. Best of luck to Messi in the future, man. It's just, he just has these really bad international experiences. I feel like his last four straight international tournaments have been like the worst experiences.
Yeah.
To like, and you know, it's the worst. Like, fine, you crash out early in the tournament, middle of the tournament. That's fine. That's something.
Right.
We suck as a team. Yeah. There's a narrative there.
Right.
But to push your team to the limits, semi-final, final, crash out.
That and losing on penalties consecutive years.
That just has to hurt, man. Poor guy. I feel so bad.
Oh, Barca mein kar lega, don't worry. They'll crash out in the semifinals to like a Liverpool or United, like a 4-0 or something.
Hey man, they got Frankie now, dude. I have high hopes of that team. I have high hopes of that team.
Yeah.
So that wraps up the nuts and bolts of the footballing world. We promised a TFC take where we're going to be talking about the Chelsea business plan. But why don't we just save that for another episode? Because I feel like, Shreyas, you're just going to keep
going. I can do that alone, man.
Yeah. Solo episode where Shreyas is just doing Chelsea's footballing system.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's save that for next episode. We have a bunch of stuff lined up that we'll be shooting across to you guys. Hope you guys like the episode. As again, you can find us wherever you get your podcasts or follow us on social media at Muncha Sports. Catch you guys next week.